So today is the feast of St. Michael and all angels. And there's a wonderful picture of Michael, stained glass window in the front, standing over a coiled dragon, serpentine creature, spear thrust into him, clad with armor that is Michael, and wings. The reading that Gail read starts off with war broke out in heaven. Nice reading. I think the readings for today, the feast of St. Michael and all angels, the fact that we focus today on angels at all, might be what we as a church, we as people, perhaps we as human beings in a broader scale, need this day. Need because one of the primary functions of angels in both testaments is to encourage God's people to remain faithful when things get dark and scary. And when we're tempted to either withdraw or flee or accommodate to whatever there is, when we fail or when the temptation is there to fail to do what we're called to do. This week, I was moved very much, in fact, over the past several weeks, by a 16-year-old girl from Sweden. You've heard of her, you've read about her, Greta Thunberg. And as I was driving one day, I heard her addressing the United Nations, and it brought me to tears when I heard her say, "Don't hope for my generation. I don't want your hope. I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to panic. I want you to act as though the house is on fire because it is." The courage and the clarity of a 16-year-old, Greta, the courage and clarity of a young girl at that time, Malala, shot in the head for wanting to have an education like anybody else. I think of the courage of the Parkland school children, youths, who are moving throughout the nation and saying an end to gun violence needs to happen. Over 45,000 deaths a year. And when I think of all of these calls, and I think of how long many of us have been arguing for responsibility for the climate, we need responsibility for gun laws and violence. We need to have everybody have human rights to get education and health care, regardless of gender or orientation or race or anything else. And then realize how often we kind of circle around and around and around, and then think God has raised up someone or some group of people, kids, youths, who in their innocence are able to say something and get our attention in ways that sometimes adults can't. And with that comes a sense of panic, perhaps. Environmentally, the clock is running out. Panic. And how do we respond in this panic? It's at this point that angels come in. In both testaments, they appear not only in this way, but mostly at those liminal moments when the gathering storm clouds grow darker, when fear grows, when the future does not seem secure at all. So in the first reading today, Jacob is fleeing for his life. He was his mother's favorite. He was a homebody. He deceived his brother of his brother's future. And his brother was furious and said, "I am going to kill you." So now Jacob is fleeing, leaving home, going to an uncle he really doesn't know, in a country he's not familiar with. And night falls and he lies down on a stone as a pillow. Has a dream of angels ascending and descending. And what he hears is what he needs to hear to take the next step. I am with you always. I will fulfill my promises to you. You will not be alone. Jacob's life gets harder as the days go on. He himself is deceived by his uncle. Things don't go the way that they should. And then when he's returning back to the land, he finds out his brother is coming at him with a host of soldiers. So he wrestles with another angel, is even weakened further, and finally meets his brother to find out his brother has become an angel, who says to him, not, I want to kill you, but Jacob, seeing your face is like seeing the face of God. And he's offered reconciliation, a new future, a new home with his brother. Angels. I think of angels appearing to Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus faces temptation. In Mark and in Matthew, when he's being tested by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, after 40 days of not eating, after 40 days of struggle and testing, exhausted, tired, famished, he holds his ground. He doesn't give in to the temptations. Temptations that you are so easily prone to give in on. He has a mission, Jesus. He knows what that mission is. And here, at his weakest moment, he's being offered everything he is going to do in the future right on the platter. All he has to do is dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, and everything will be his. But Jesus knows that if the means are compromised, the end is also compromised. If he dances with the devil will lead, not just now, but in the future. He's promised security. He's promised fame. He's promised power. He's promised a kingdom. All the kingdoms of the earth will be his. But he refuses. And at the end of that, he is totally spent. That's when angels come and minister to him. In Mark's gospel and in Matthew's. Luke doesn't have angels ministering to him then. The angels in Luke's gospel appear at the end of the gospel. In Gethsemane, when Jesus, just hours before he is tortured, mocked, crucified, humiliated, when he even begins to think on the cross that he's abandoned by the one who promised never to leave him, there the angels minister to him to give him the courage to face what he needs to face. And to face it in a way that remains faithful and true to his calling. To encounter darkness with light. To speak forgiveness in the midst of rage and animosity and hatred. It's there, even in his death, that Jesus wins. Not the serpent. And wins not by calling his own armies to come and destroy, not with sword and shield, but by being faithful to his very calling. That's the ministry of angels to you, to me, to this world. At a time when things are getting darker and scarier, whether it's environmentally, whether it's not knowing the future of our own church or our diocese as we're facing elections and not really knowing what 6 months from now, a year from now will bring. Or in our own lives, when we hear words like, you have cancer, a lot of it, the wrong kind, as I did 12 years ago. Or as you lose a loved one or a friend. We all face those liminal moments in one way or another. And then sometimes angels come to us with a reminder of what we know already, but in a way that we hear it afresh to give us the courage to take the next step. We know, as Paul writes, that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. We know that Jesus promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. But sometimes the darkness is so thick we can't remember that. And then a person may appear, a stranger, a child, and say just the right thing, or be in a presence in the right way, or help us to see something that we couldn't see before, that trips something inside and gives us the courage to take the next step. That's the gift of angels today. One of the things that the readings today, especially the reading from the book of Revelation, reminds us of, is that our life here on earth is part of a much bigger narrative that takes place on a cosmic scene. The writer of Revelation takes the veil and draws it back and lets us see what our eyes can't see, that there are angels and archangels and all kinds of other creatures that are involved in the drama that takes place in heaven and on earth. And each of us, on each level, is called to be faithful, called to defeat those powers that go against life and creation and God, but to do it in a way that is faithful to the Lamb who gave his own blood for us. Faithful to not answer violence with violence. Faithful to stay present with an openness and a hospitality of spirit. Faithful to continue to entertain strangers, not knowing that some of them may be angels in disguise and opening a new future for us. Angels can help us take the next step. So I'd like to close with a poem by Shewa Miwash called On Angels. All was taken away from you, white dresses, wings, even existence. Yet I believe you, messengers. There where the world is turned inside out, a heavy fabric embroidered with stars and beasts, you stroll, inspecting the trustworthy scenes. Short is your stay here, now and then at a matinal hour if the sky is clear, in a melody repeated by a bird, or in the smell of apples at the close of day when the light makes the orchards magic. They say somebody has invented you, but to me this doesn't make sound convincing. The voice, no doubt it is a valid proof, as it can belong only to radiant creatures, weightless and winged, girdled with the lightning. I have heard that voice many a time when asleep, and what is strange, I understood more or less an order or an appeal in an unearthly tongue. Day draws near, another one. Do what you can. We may not know what the future holds, but the message is, do what you can. Remain faithful. Do what you can. You are not alone. Not only is God's Spirit with you, but a whole host of angels and archangels and a company of community sitting right next to you. We are not alone. And the price we need to pay to tackle the things that we need to tackle in this world so that future generations can have a future. We have the resources, celestial, among ourselves and in ourselves, to take the next step. So day draws near, another one. Do what you can. Amen.